following program is a proud member of the Palava family of podcasts. Check out all the shows over at palava.com. That's palava.com.
Welcome to GleeCast, the somewhat occasionally weekly home of Glee and casting. Here are your hosts, Emily and Erica.
Well, hey there.
Well, hello.
Do you know what time of year it is?
January.
It's about the time of year for a character on Glee to elope and that never really be an issue again.
Oh, that's true.
Right around this time of year, Emma and Hottie McHotterson Stamos eloped. And now this year we have another elopement. So I guess it's a new tradition.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. We'll talk about how we feel about that in a bit. But in the meantime, I'm Emily.
And I'm Erica.
And we are.
This is GleeCast.
Indeed, which the intro already told you, but I always forget that happens. So lay off about it, okay?
It's all right. It's not a problem. I think we should say it anyway. It's nice to say it. It's nice to welcome people.
Yeah. We were really excited last week because we were all caught up with GleeCasting, obviously. And so we were all ready, but we knew we both had a busy week last week. So after the show aired, or we had planned, we're like, all right, I guess we'll record Wednesday the day after, which isn't really enough time because I know you and I both like to have like a few days apart from it to revisit the show. And then what happens on the end credits of Glee last week?
Glee will be returning in 2 weeks with...
What?
It was very convenient.
It really was. I immediately texted Erica. I'm like, so we're going to record next week, right?
Yeah. It's like they had us in mind for it.
I know. Thanks, Glee, guys. Thanks. Yeah, we're kind of on track still, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we're not belated with any episodes.
Yeah, right.
We're not behind.
Exactly, and that's all that matters, so just give us a break, people, okay?
Seriously.
God.
We're trying our best here.
Right? Is that why they stopped writing in feedback?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what went wrong.
We'll get to that later. A few things, Glee news-wise, there was some exciting casting news announced.
Oh, yeah, I'm not as excited about it as you are.
Oh, girl, you'd be crazy.
No way, because it was so much better when it was cast for the other show. Go ahead, make the announcement.
Okay, so it's a minor spoiler alert. So give us, like, I don't know, 5 minutes to... We don't need 5 minutes. Give us, 3 minutes to talk about casting that's been announced for Glee. Because, I don't know, maybe you want to be surprised. And I get that. That's cool. But if you don't want to be surprised, then listen up, yo. So they announced the casting of Rachel's gay dads, which we've all been, like, on our seats wondering who it's going to be. So Rachel's dads, a certain sexy fly named Jeff Goldblum. And a certain singing, piece of heaven, Brian Stokes Mitchell.
See, I'm not familiar with him.
Brian Stokes Mitchell is primarily known to Broadway audiences.
I figured as much.
Yeah, I mean, he was the lead in Ragtime in the Don Quixote musical that I always forget the actual name of from a few years ago that was revived. He's somebody who, anybody who's a Broadway fan probably knows who he is. He's won, I think, 2 Tonys, at least one. I believe he won for Ragtime. And his voice is positively incredible. I did actually get to hear him sing live a couple of years ago, something in New York where he was singing. And he's just, I would believe that he would be Rachel's biological father. Same as I would believe Jeff Goldblum could be. But I'm really excited for Brian Stokes Mitchell to be on the show and to sing and to perform. And as we talked about a few weeks ago, I've always kind of had a weird crush on Jeff Goldblum. There's something weirdly sexy about him. So I'm really excited to see him in the Gleeverse.
See, my issue is that I watch The League, which I doubt many of our listeners actually watch because it's a show about a fantasy football league. I just have those crossover tendencies, I guess.
Fair enough.
Although Will has a fantasy football league, we learned this week. He did not do well. I empathize with him, although I did finish in fourth place. That's not that bad. But anyway, my point being that there's a character played by Nick Kroll. And if you're a member of the Palaver forums, then you've already seen my post about this. And they cast Jeff Goldblum as Nick Kroll's dad. His character's name is Ruxin. And these two men look exactly alike. It was like the most phenomenal casting I've ever seen in my entire life.
Kind of like when they cast Idina Menzel as Rachel's mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was such good casting. And Jeff Goldblum was able to make all the same faces that Nick Kroll makes. And like, they just had the same mannerisms and they spoke with the same cadence. And like, it was just, if anything, just watch that one episode just to see the phenomenal casting, because that casting director deserves like a really big award. So it was kind of, I'm kind of like, but that's.
Well, I could see that. A little let down. Kind of feel
like that's Ruxin's dad. Like, yeah. That's not. No, it's not the scientist from Jurassic Park, and no, it's no longer the fly. It's Ruxin's dad now, and I don't know. I was a little let down by it. Plus, I get mad because they already showed us a picture of Rachel's dad's in seasons one.
So. You have to let that go. That was in the first episode.
I'm not letting it go.
You want to know how many other things have changed in the first episode, Erica?
I know, but that's the one thing I don't want to let go.
Do you realize the kids have been 16 for like 5 years now?
Don't make me let go of it. Just don't make me do it.
All right. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. I think they come. I don't know. I think it's not this week, next week, or the week after.
I don't know.
But it's not yet. But soon. So I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I'm excited. But that's me, I guess.
Other people are excited.
The world.
It's just me because.
No, I understand.
He was just on something else, and it was so good.
Well, Jeff Goldblum should get a lot of work. He's a great actor.
He should. Not as Rachel's dad.
Okay, fair enough. Other bit of house cleaning stuff in the beginning I just wanted to get out was I was a guest on another podcast last week, which was Fat Guys at the Movies. So if you want to hear me talk about, I don't really remember. There's a lot of George Lucas talk, actually. So my Star Wars friends and enemies can go to fatguysinthemovies.com, I think, or just go to iTunes and type in Fat Guys in the Movies and look for the episode that is titled The Lando Apology, and you get to hear me on there. It was fun. Thank you, Kevin. And then to just kind of congrats and such I wanted to throw out there.
Okay.
Outside the Cinema celebrated their 4th anniversary as a podcast this week.
Yes, so they did.
Clapping. I am clapping.
Congrats to them. I don't think they listen to us. Well, Bill definitely doesn't. I don't think Chris listens anymore.
Regardless, congrats.
Still, we love them.
Yep, certainly a reason we got into podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, it's a lot of people's birthdays around now. And I believe for Night Living Podcast, it's essentially the entire podcast's birthday.
So happy birthday, Night Living Podcast.
Happy birthday to Night Living Podcast and its members.
Yes.
Because I think all of them get older like this week and next week. So to them, I say party on.
Good for you guys.
Indeed. Getting older is great, isn't it, Erica? Can't you wait to get older?
I can wait. You can't wait. You only have a week left, so.
I have exactly a week before I turn 29.2. Yeah.
I still have a year.
I'm not ready. Not ready for this.
It'll be okay. You'll survive.
I'm still looking for that birth certificate that tells me I was actually born in 1983. I know it's somewhere. Maybe there was a house fire. The town hall was set on fire, and they just printed everything with 82. Yeah, no, I'm.
That must be what happened.
It's totally.
But then you just have to do it next year, so you might as well get it over with.
Not if there's another fire. There can always be more fires, Erica. Okay.
Anyway.
I guess we'll talk about the episode now.
Sure.
This episode, written by...
Ian Brennan?
No, I think it was
Brad Falchuk.
Yeah, Brad Falchuk.
That's what I meant.
Okay, yeah. So back to our Glee...
I knew there was a B in it.
Yeah, good job. Now, we haven't had a Brad Falchuk episode in a while.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, we actually haven't had a Glee Triumvirate episode in a while. So this was a return to form. And directed by...
Eric Stoltz,
the almost Marty McFly himself.
Yes.
And this episode titled Yes/No. Here we go. Wedding bells are in the air as Beast announces she's resolved a minor storyline / eloped with Cooter, prompting Emma to mumble a proposal to Will, who then enlists new directions to help him find the perfect Will You Marry Me musical moment. Such an assignment awakens the romantic inside his students as Sam vows to win Mercedes' heart back from that monolith by joining synchronized swimming. Artie fights off the advances of a love-struck and horny Becky, while Finn contemplates enlisting in the army before being told by his mother that his dad was less a war hero and more a PTSD drug addict. Buzzkill. Did Lima's curliest haired teacher, De Espanol, offer his hand to its cutest redhead? After Finn knelt down to Rachel with a ring, what exactly was said? And did Artie get to see McKinley's co-cheer captain with Medhead? Find out now when we discuss what you missed on
Glee. Okay.
Now, I know you have complicated feelings about the episode.
I do.
Do you want to talk about them now, or do you want to reveal them as we go through the plot points?
I'll give a brief description now.
Okay.
What happened was, the episode started, and we all know how the episode starts. We'll talk about it when we get to the songs. But as soon as that happened, I was like, as soon as I saw where they were, I was like, they're in the cafeteria. They just asked about Sam. This is the song they're going to do. And I got super excited about it. Then.
Did the leather jacket have anything to do with it?
I knew long before that. Like, three words came out of Tina's mouth. She was like, so this summer, and they were in the lunchroom, and I was like, summer lovin'! And I got super excited. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Okay, so that happened, and I got super excited, and they were singing, and I'm in a really good mood, because they're singing a good song, and all the choreography's great, and I'm looking at the bottom of the screen, and I'm like, oh, it's a Brad Falchuk episode. Oh, and it's directed by Eric Stoltz, and I actually said out loud, oh, this is going to be a good episode.
And that's like driving and you're like driving, you're doing really great and you're not hitting any red lights and saying out loud to your passenger, hey, can you believe it? We're not hitting any red lights.
I know. I realize that now. But for a while, I was lulled into that false sense of security. Mm-hmm. And it's not that it was a bad episode. I just think that it had a lot of issues. And even after I finished watching it, I was like, oh, so much happened in this episode. It was pretty good, though. And then I watched it a second time, and I was like, I don't know how good that episode was. I'm just confused by it.
All right. I can see confusion. When I first watched the episode last week, I was really – I have issues with it. I have a few issues here and there, which, of course, we'll get to. But overall, I was extremely happy. I felt like it was old Glee. I felt like the – and mostly because I thought the characters acted very in – towards their characters, like there was just no stupid things happening. Like I believed characters were acting as they would have, whether that was smart or not. And so I really liked the episode. And then when I rewatched it, I think high of it did wear off on the second go around.
Definitely.
I think I liked it more than you in the end, because there's a few storylines that I thought, okay, really, there's just one storyline that I really liked. Anyway.
See, that's
yeah,
the problem.
I know. That's the thing. On second viewing, it did not hold up as well. And I think we're going to get into it when we get into the specifics, because I can't pinpoint exactly what it was. But it just had more flaws, I think, in its storytelling than I noticed until I really looked at it.
Yeah, definitely. It had too many storylines. And there were so many storylines that I wrote down. I was like, either A, didn't we do this already?
Yeah.
B, what is the point of this? Or C, like, this is a silly way to advance this plot. Like,
right. Or D, this is a really quick arc that could have been stretched out over two episodes.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that was probably the storyline that almost had the most potential, I think, was Finn's army thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, the first time around, like, I thought I really liked what they did. Second time around, I'm like, you know, this is so much to cram in here. And if they had just given it, you know, a week ago, he'd walked by a recruiter's table and just had a moment where he looked to the sky. And then this happened. It would have been more realistic than just within this episode, him going from being yay gung-ho army to the episode ending with the army is a terrible place because it killed Finn's dad.
Yeah, it was rushed and messy and sloppy. Yeah. So do you want to talk about that first, I guess?
Sure, I will. And I did, again, like, I like the idea of Finn thinking of this as a viable option. I'd be really curious how, if this had any negative feedback from, like, anybody in the military or their family, because I think, I understand it's wartime, so I would not want anybody I know or care about to go into the army right now.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think it in other times, it's a great option for a lot of people. I've known people who've gone to the army and been able to pay for college through it, who maybe found, like, you know, maybe college wasn't the right answer, but the army totally was. And I do feel like the show because of the way it was crammed in here, I think it was actually a little bit offensive.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Because I've liked the stuff with Finn and his dad in past episodes. Like, and we never had a lot of it, but like in the pilot, you know, there was a lot of, you know, Finn idolizing his dad. And was it season two when they talk, when there was like a chair that's Finn's dad's chair. And,
yeah,
you know, we know that he has this kind of hero worship of his dad, but it's not like we knew that in this episode. It's that it was crammed down our throats. And then it was, you know, like then somebody stuck their fingers in our throats and made us throw it up.
Right. They had built up his dad so much and it all came crashing down in one episode. And it was kind of hard to swallow because it was like, where did this even come from?
Right. And so quickly, like, you know, Finn walks into the room and they're like, sit down. He's like, okay, what's up? Your dad came back from the war and was hooked on drugs and then, you know, probably killed himself. And it was so dark, but unnecessarily dark. And I just think we could have had, and I mean, Glee is, I think we're seeing more and more how bad they are at telling a story that arcs over multiple episodes.
Yes.
Because this should have been at least a 2-episode arc, just drop the hints this season. And instead, they took what could have been a good story, which I think was a good character thing for Finn. And I like that they, you know, finally made him try something and made him think about his future and then just made it so rushed and dramatic that, you know, it ends with him popping the question.
Right. Because obviously that was the point. They had to find a way to get Finn to propose to Rachel because everything that Will does, Finn has to mirror it.
Right. Yeah. Good point. And how obvious can it be? Even the ring looked like Emma's ring, but a little smaller and kind of ugly. Yep. I didn't like either of their rings.
I didn't like either ring either.
No.
Just for future reference to anyone out there.
Right. Anybody who's thinking of getting us engagement diamond rings. Yes. Engagement ring.
We did not like theirs.
No, do not take a lesson from Glee.
It really bothered me that it was an engagement ring. Because when he first started his speech, I was like, all right, he's going to give her a promise ring. Like that. Right. That would
and
be
that's what I thought
nice.
It was. Like my notes was like, oh no, not the engaged to be engaged ring. Because remember in high school and middle school, how many people had those?
I don't know. I don't think a lot of people did by me.
Some people did. And it was always the stupidest thing in the world because you're like, really, 15-year-old, you're getting engaged to get engaged? Yeah. Let's see how well that works out.
No, I know. It's silly now to look back on. But, like, at least that's a high school thing to do. Like, it's not a high school thing for him to propose to his girlfriend. That's just silly.
And not when based on, like, the preview for next week, it's so, like, the preview was him being like, so, Rachel, what's your answer? And it just feels like what is she Bella Swan? Is she now going to give up everything? To, you know, because what else does she have? But right.
Because she didn't get into Niata. So what else is she going to do?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a little sad for the characters. And I mean, obviously, based on the scene with him and her and Kurt sitting at the table, it's all to set them up staying behind now that we know they're staying behind.
We don't know that for sure.
Well, they're still going to be on the show, so it's...
Somehow. Yeah, but remember, they're going to be ghosts. That's my theory, and I'm really hoping it pays off.
Yes, I'm sure that's going to happen.
I'm really hoping.
They're all going to die. They're actually on the Lost Island.
Oh, yes. Yes. If Lost were a musical, just imagine. Just imagine. I'm just saying.
It's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, and... It's like Finn takes a step forward. Like this episode, I liked him because I thought he got interesting again with his own problems. And now it's back to this Rachel thing. And like, it's like, ugh. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yep, yep, yep. That's how I feel about that.
Well, hopefully she says no and we could get past this.
Yeah, right?
Or in 3 episodes, they'll just forget that she never answered him.
That's true. Have another writer come in. It's done. So are we good with Finn? Should we move on?
Yeah, we can move on.
Okay. Let's get, I guess, the smaller ones out of the way before we get to, main thrust of the story. Okay. Beast and Cooter got eloped.
Yeah, that was like the sloppiest, worst fucking writing ever.
I understand. Maybe they've already had a few weddings on the show. They didn't want to do it again. They're probably going to have one.
Emily, what did we just complain about 2 episodes ago? Where he was with Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the worst writing ever.
Yeah.
So having him about face again and be with Beast.
Oh, and not just be with Beast. Get fucking married to her.
It's, again, the worst writing ever.
And seriously, what's up with men in Lima marrying virgins? What's up with it?
God, I don't know.
And don't get it.
It's just disgusting. It just made me so angry. Cause
it made me mad.
I don't know. If it had been handled better, it would have... I don't care. Like, it's fine if Beast wants to be married. They want to marry her off. That's fine. But it was just handled in such a poor fashion, right. And it was the sloppiest writing and the most rush writing. Again...
And you're right, because the more we're talking about, the more angry I'm getting. Because I'm thinking how, 2 weeks ago, the episode is Beast walking in and, like so proudly telling Emma and Will about how great her relationship is going. And in this episode, it's like Emma's like, hey, you're eating a lot of chicken. Beast is like, yeah, I'm married. I'm celebrating. This is how I celebrate. It's right. No, you would tell your best friends, which is kind of the way they've set up her and Will, at least. You'd be like, hey, I'm eloping.
Like, come be my best man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, it's a lack of respect for the characters, I think.
It is. And the actress, like... I don't know what to do.
Jenna Mays gets to wear like 9 wedding dresses.
Jema Mays.
Whatever.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah. Bad, bad, bad.
All right, should we move on to what I'm sure is your favorite storyline, Sam Sadie's?
Oh, God.
I say this because it involves Shane, who I know is your favorite character ever.
Yeah, he's just a dreamboat.
No.
They're doing nothing. All they're doing is making him unlikable. Like, I don't even understand Mercedes' plight because
she's
going out with this awful...
I understand, maybe you're in a relationship and you like this guy as a person, but then you realize, but I really love this person and I don't want to break up because I feel really bad because it's not this guy's fault. It's just that it's me. But so, Mercedes, you're like 17 years old. Just break up with your boyfriend and say, I still care about my ex. I don't understand why this is being played as like Romeo and Juliet.
Like as if she's married and doesn't want to get divorced. Like
exactly. It's like, no, I'm pregnant with his baby. I can't get divorced. Like, no, just tell Shane. And again, maybe she's scared that he will eat her and Sam and Sam's little darling blonde siblings. Because, he tastes like white chocolate. Maybe that's the fear, but it's played off. And again, it's weird because I do feel like the whole Sam and Mercedes storyline is like a favor to its fans because people got angry when they treated it with such as if it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And then people were like, no, we want to see them together. So now the show's like, okay, we'll put them together. But remember, she has a boyfriend now because remember, we made this announcement that this guy was going to play her boyfriend. And there's no reason whatsoever for them not to be together.
Yep. He must have a contract for a certain amount of episodes.
And not just episodes, but he was hired to play Mercedes' boyfriend, and therefore that is the part he must play.
Yep.
It's just bizarre, and I don't understand why they think it's entertaining to watch her just be like, I'm with Shane now. I'm with Shane now. Because she says that 5 times in this episode. And I don't get it! So break up with Shane!
Yep.
Then you can say I'm with Sam now. That's how it works.
And I'm glad you're as angry as I am. I don't have to yell.
It wasn't that angry until we started talking about it.
I'm sorry I have this effect on you. And it was also, it works as a plot device to get, I really think this is what happened. I think the entire episode was reverse engineered and they were like, where haven't we performed in the school? The school has a pool. How can we get them in the pool? And they worked backwards from there.
How can we get most of them in the pool?
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that when we get to that song. Don't you worry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, totally. I know. We'll get there.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Becky Artie?
Didn't we do this story already? Did we not already do this story?
With?
Not this episode. I'm talking about Glee in general. Becky wants to join the Glee Club. Will doesn't want a letter in the Glee Club. Sue lets her join the Cheerios because all she wants is to be treated like everyone else.
Okay, this is where I am going to soften because I like the storyline.
It was sweet. It was cute. We've just done it already. And again, this is something, I liked it the first time I watched it, but I got angry at it the second time I watched it because I was angry at other things. And then I was like, we did this already.
I can see that. The things I liked about it was it was handled sensitively, I guess.
It was.
Because you had I like that it put Artie in this really hard place of him having fun with Becky And then I loved the scene of the quote unquote intervention where they're all like, dude, just realize what you're doing. Cause it was like, it was that kind of that one of those weird situations where it's like, everybody's kind of wrong and right. Like it was that awkward place. And the best thing to me was when Santana's like, no, I am going to say this because she's a conniving little bitch. Like Santana had no problem with fucking Down syndrome. Santana was just like, no, I know this girl. She's a bitch. Don't get involved in that. I thought that was kind of great.
Well, so because they all think that Sue's behind it, blah, blah. But I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it was so nefarious. I don't think they were thinking it of Sue. I think they were seeing it as Becky has a crush on Artie. Artie's doesn't know how to handle it. And this could end up really bad for her. Like this, you know, like if he handles this the wrong way, it would be like, you know, really painful. So I don't know. I liked this storyline, I guess. And I think I just more the way it was executed, because you had like the narration with Helen Mirren, which I thought was really funny because basically she talked like a British Sue, which I liked.
She did.
You had Sue acting like a person again. And
I enjoyed Sue. I just had a problem with it because they already did it. Yeah. I don't mind the story in general.
Yeah. No, I thought to me that was the best handled storyline this show, but I can see what you mean where it's just, you're right. It was handled fine, but we've seen this already.
Yeah.
I will point out that we did miss out on having a great portmanteau.
What was it?
We could have called them Bacardi.
Oh, we could have.
Right? I totally could have. But oh well.
That's sad.
Moving on. Okay, should we get to the big story?
Yeah, is that all we have left?
Yeah, I guess so.
Moving fast.
All right.
So Will wants to propose to Emma.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to ask her parents, which is just stupid because he saw the way they treat her.
Yeah.
And obviously they scare him.
And they hate him because he is not a redhead. Yeah. And is it all chamomile tea decaf?
I don't know.
I don't think there's caffeine in chamomile tea. I thought people drink it to go to bed.
Oh, she's awful. They're just despicable people. And I didn't like seeing them. I mean, it was amusing the first time. I didn't see any need to bring them into it again.
Right.
It just kind of bothered me.
And I think the actual conversation they had with Will, where it's like, well, you know, what's it really going to be like being married to her? I feel like I understand that, like, and that was effective. And the conversation he then has with Emma, like, just because Jayma Mays, like, has those eyes that, like Allison Hannigan, when she cries, it's really hard not to cry.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, we've kind of done this already. We kind of already, like, you've been living with this woman for a year now, so you know that she has problems. Like, so, you know, what? Now you're afraid of having kids with her, but you were okay with having kids with your psychotic cunt of an ex-wife. Like,
crazy baby.
Exactly.
crazy fake baby, rather.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think, again, I think it was done well, this episode. I think acting-wise and writing-wise, it was fine, but I've seen it before. You haven't done anything new with it. I don't know why I'm watching it, kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just with the parents. It was been there, done that, and he's already had the inner Emma battle. Like, we've just done it. There was no reason to make it dramatic. It should have just been, I want to propose to Mrs.
Right,
Pillsbury.
And the whole episode could have just been. Yeah, could have just been, you know, take out the scene with her parents, throw in one more song where, you know, Puck gives his idea for how he should propose, and bam, you have, like, a good episode that, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe it was just, you think about it, and Matthew Morrison hasn't had a lot to do this season.
He hasn't, but this wasn't the thing to give him to do.
But that's what I'm wondering, if it was, like, let's make sure we give these two actors a good episode for once, because, you know. Mm-hmm. Hey, Matthew Morrison, we don't want you directing another episode. Why don't you do a storyline?
Please, no.
Exactly. So I think, I don't know. I'm wondering if that was part of it, was just, you know what? It's been a while since we've had a storyline for these people. Let's give them something. Even though they've already done this storyline. Well, we know that they're good at it then, so we'll just give it. I don't know.
Is that everything?
Yeah, plot-wise, right?
Nice.
I'm not forgetting anything, I don't think. Yeah, so we'll see how those... I mean, the interesting thing, I guess, is that, well, the only other thing that we didn't mention is that, and we talked about it a little bit, there was that breadsticks conversation where we find out,
yeah,
oh, the Niada letters have gone out and Kurt and Rachel haven't gotten one. So there's apparently, when it comes to, when you live in Ohio and you're applying to college, you apparently only apply to one college.
Yeah. Just one.
Right?
That's it.
No backups. No. Don't apply to, like, I don't know, SUNY Purchase or whatever the equivalent of, like, an Ohio state school that has a good arts program is.
Oneonta, like the Oneonta equivalent.
Exactly. Don't apply to NYU. Well, I guess NYU is supposed to be Niada. I don't know. But yeah, there's other colleges. But nobody told that to McKinley High. They need to have, like, a college fair or something. I don't know. But yeah, so we get to see how that plays out. I guess that means we get a wedding, and I always like wedding episodes of TV shows, so that's good. You think they'll do a double wedding?
Oh God, no. How terrible would that be? I'll save that for a low note.
Okay.
I just thought of something I wanted to talk about. I'll save it though.
Oh God, I can imagine. It would be great. And I mean, by great, I mean, it would be really awful, but I would take enjoyment if they did like a Brady Bunch double wedding. it won't, but let's see. I'm sure we'll get more of Mercedes saying, "I'm with Shane," in the next couple weeks. So
yeah,
we'll see how that turns out. But I guess that's everything. So should we move on to these songs?
Sure. So we already mentioned the first song. It was Summer Lovin' from Grease. And I love
It was like 80% of Summer Lovin'.
No, I know. I definitely have that written down.
Yeah, it bugs the fuck out of me how they keep doing this. They keep cutting like random verses out. And I understand you have a time limit, but it's like you're adding what? Like 40 seconds to the song tops if you just let them sing the verse so that the next verse makes sense.
Yeah, it's awkward. My notes actually say, love it, don't love the random shortening of the song, however.
Yeah. Because it cuts out verses that if you're actually listening to the song, it now makes it confusing. Because it's like, they're on a beach and she ran by me splashing around. Save my life and yours. But instead it's like, save my... It's just lines that come out of nowhere and it does not make sense.
I don't know. Annoying. But yeah. I love that Kurt is with the girls and Blaine is with the boys.
It was cute. Yeah.
And I think that this is a random thought, but I think that if they ever did remade Grease, mm-hmm, I think Sam would make a very convincing Danny. I think
totally.
He did a good job with it.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I wish that Santana had the Rizzo line because he sounds like a drag line.
Yeah, it would have made
more
sense. I
don't think that Kurt did it.
Yeah.
And I love that Sam does the finger point at the end, a la John Travolta. It was wonderful.
It was cute. It was cute. I mean, it was very Grease. It was very, like, there wasn't that much they did new to it. But it was fine because it was just cute.
It was fun.
It worked. Yeah. I loved the next song.
It was Wedding Bell Blues by The Fifth Dimension. I was just
so
telling
cute.
You what it was. I don't have your outline open, so I don't know if you
actually...
No,
I actually did write... No, I got some of them, but not all of them. Because
right.
The next one I call the Jagger thingy.
Oh, yeah.
So for Wedding Bell Blues, I just loved it because, I mean, I like older songs, and Glee is very afraid to tackle them.
Yeah.
So that was nice for one thing. I thought it was staged really well. I loved the dancing. I loved that Sue and Beast for the bridesmaids with the big British hats.
Yep.
Like, the only thing I didn't love about it was, you know, I mean, Jayma Mays is not a great singer. You know, when she's auto-tuned, she sounds fine. And she sounded fine in this, except the lip singing, like, was so obvious.
Oh, I don't know. It didn't bother me. Maybe I was distracted by everything that was going on.
It's possible. Like, it felt overly, like, they just didn't even try kind of thing. And I don't know if it was just because it was so overproduced from an audio standpoint that there was no way to make it look like the words are coming out of her mouth. But other than that, I totally loved this song.
Yeah, I love this song in general, and it just reminds me of My Girl, which makes me want to watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great.
His glasses! He needs his glasses!
Thomas J. can't see without his glasses.
Sorry.
So the next song is a mashup, and it's Moves Like Jagger and Jumpin' Jack Flash by Maroon 5 and the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the music this episode because I really love this too.
Yeah. overall, now that I look at it, I would agree. I think it was the, I think it was good choices for all the music. Actually, I'll talk about when we get there, but yeah.
I just think that there was there, I mean, I know they were doing their moves like Jagger, but there were a couple of moments where Will just looked like he was injured, and it was a little it was a little sad, but otherwise it was so much fun, and I love Artie and Artie dancing in his wheelchair.
I do like Jagger in wheelchair.
Yeah.
I like, again, that, like, I like when they pair up Shu and Mike Chang dancing. It's just funny that, like, they're the dance partners.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're both probably the best. Like, Matthew Morrison is a good dancer. Like, you know, he's a Broadway dancer. And I realized this as the songs kept going. Do you think it's weird that Matthew Morrison didn't sing at all this episode?
Oh, yeah, he didn't.
He didn't. He's in, like, virtually every song as a dancer or just in the background, but I thought it was really weird when I really think about it, that in the episode where he's trying to figure out what to sing to Emma to propose to her,
he doesn't sing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Weird.
So the next song is "The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face" by Roberta Flack.
I loved this one.
It was lovely.
I don't think I've ever heard this song before.
Mm-mm.
But it was, you know, it's nice when Glee sometimes like trusts its singers and trusts its songs to just let them sit down and sing it. And this one, it's just a really beautiful song, and it was, you know, performed well. The flashbacks at first, like, I'm like, they're really cute. They're really sweet. Like, I just liked, like, it was, you know, with the songs that like makes you think about like you and everything. I will agree. We have to give a,
shout out to Kelly.
Yes. Kelly from Night Living Podcast, a proud supporter of the Palaver forums, pointed out in this song how great and cheesy the moment is when Mercedes thinks back to Sam. Because when Sam is walking, there's this great slow motion shot of two guys slapping high five over his head. And Sam giving this like the goofiest smile of all time. And I didn't notice it until Kelly pointed it out. And then when I watched it, I'm like, yes, yes, that is awesomely cheesy.
Yes. Thank you, Kelly.
Yes. Yeah, so I just like this one.
Yeah, it was a ballad. I don't have anything to say.
So we got another ballad.
This one was a little fat. This one's more upbeat, though. This one's "Without You." And I don't know how to say the artist's name. It's David Guetta.
Guetta. Guetta?
Yeah, something like that. Featuring Usher.
Guetta? Featuring Usher?
Yes.
Okay.
This isn't really like a ballad. It's a little more upbeat.
Okay.
I can't sing it in my head right now because all I start singing is "Without You" from Rent.
So. I know, that's what I keep thinking, just seeing that there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. This was just Rachel singing, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Singing about Finn, and then they make out at the end.
It's
very gross. Last year nationals.
It did make me notice that this episode was heavy on the spotlight usage.
Was it?
Yeah, there was like every song, or at least this one, because this one followed "The First Time I Saw Your Face," which also had a lot of spotlights.
Yeah.
Eric Stoltz, love you, man, but just, you know,
lay off the spotlights. Lay off
spotlights. Use a few more tools at your disposal.
And then the last song, which is the proposal song, which I love, 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 love times infinity. That's verbatim from my notes. is "We Found Love" by Rihanna featuring Calvin Harris.
So here's my thing. I loved everything about this, except for the song.
What?
I don't know. Okay, I don't know. I've never
heard it. It's Rihanna.
I know. Here's a case where we're going to flip roles a bit. I've never heard this song before. And so to me, like, this was a huge moment in the show. And the song itself, I just didn't like that much. I don't know. The song felt very, the song itself to me didn't seem like anything special. Whereas the staging of it was so great and so creative and so amazing. And especially in an episode where they had like, you know, all these other great songs, this song just to me felt like a mediocre pop hit that I wasn't familiar with, which, yeah. So that's just but I loved everything about this performance. I just didn't like the music that much.
But we found love in a hopeless place, Emily.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, insulting to McKinley High, but whatever.
No, it's about her disease.
True, I guess. I don't know. I guess I just thought there was something about the song that, I don't know. I like it better the second time. I loved everything about it. I loved the swimming. I mean, I loved Blaine twirling. I loved Artie diving in with his wheelchair. I loved the costuming. I loved what the girls were wearing and their hair.
Oh, I want that bathing suit so bad.
It was beautiful. I just didn't like that. I just would have preferred a different song choice.
I'm not even partial to the song. I just, it was so happy. It was like an upbeat, happy song.
It was awesome. It was totally great. I just wish the song was a little more interesting to me.
Did you cry?
Believe it or not, I don't think I did. And you know me, I cried everything.
This episode got me. The look on her face when he asked her.
You're right. The first time I watched it, I did.
First time I didn't because I was with people. Like, I teared up, but I was like, no, don't cry. And then the second time I was alone and I totally
cry out loud.
Totally started bawling.
I hear you. Should we address the glaring question about this song and its performers?
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of shots of, like, the girls' legs doing little things and stuff.
Oh, yes.
Did you notice anything about the legs? Did they all look the same to you?
Did they all look the same to me? As in the same size?
Color? Is it because she's black or because she's overweight, Erica? Maybe. Why do you think Mercedes was not allowed in that pool?
Maybe she was. Don't make me say it.
Were you going to say she had her period?
No.
Oh.
I was going to be super racist.
Because that's the first answer. It's maybe because she's black.
Maybe she can't swim.
That was on The Office last week, wasn't it?
Well, it was also in this episode with Nene.
Well, no, because Nene is... Wait.
She was like, they told me I'm black. I can't swim, but I swam all the way upstream.
You're right. Yeah, maybe it's because of that. Maybe they don't let black people in the pool. Maybe they don't let chubby girls in the pool.
Regardless,
I don't know why Sam thinks his Letterman's robe is going to win Mercedes when bitch can't go in the pool.
Maybe she was still off camera dealing with her Sam discovery.
Maybe. But the first time around, I wasn't looking for her. But at a certain point, I'm like, there's Tina, there's Quinn, okay. And the second time, I'm like, fuck it, is she in there? And I swear, I was very unfocused the second time watching this scene because I was really just looking to see if Mercedes was in there. And she's not. She is not in that scene at all, and she's the only one. Artie doesn't have movable legs, but he is in that pool. Mercedes just has a lot of meat on her legs, and she can't go in that pool. I don't know. I was so curious because I'm like, you know, that had to be obviously like a huge scene for them to film.
Yeah, like it must have taken days.
And like you just wonder, Amber Riley was like, hey, I don't feel well. Or was it like an actor's choice of her being like, look, I'm really uncomfortable doing this. Was it like somebody up in like Glee producer's chair being like, hey, that Amber's got to lose a few pounds before she gets in that swimsuit. I don't know, but it was shocking to me that they could have at least staged it in a way where like she leans over and you don't see her bottom half or something. Like, look, I understand. I'm a heavier girl. When I go swimming, I usually wear shorts because, you know, I don't need to. Plus, it's like bikini waxes. Come on. No, those are just painful. Like, but still, like they could have staged it in a way where, hey, Amber's here too.
She could have just sang from the lifeguarding chair.
Yeah. That would have been even better.
And then it would have been more obvious that she wasn't in the pool everyone else. I don't know.
Maybe the only excuse I will make for her is that she had her period.
Perhaps.
Which is a fair thing.
But there are these things called tampons.
Yeah, I know. But when you're in high school, you might not know about that yet.
All right. Well, clearly that's a low note.
Okay. And did anybody else? I want to know. Listeners, Lee Cast listeners. You people who did not write in this week, or if you did, hi Wayne. What are your theories about why she wasn't in that pool? Because I am so fascinated by that.
It's very interesting.
All right.
So high note. It's some not that this is a high note, but the line is a high note because it was funny. But there is a lot of racism this episode.
There was a lot of, I don't know if I'd call it racism or race humor.
race humor. No Chengdu. I'm not a white rice queen. That's
it's acceptable because risk offending a different minority. It's acceptable and funny because she has Down syndrome.
Oh God.
I mean, because she said it. Like, if Sue had said that, it would be racist. But because Becky said it, it was really racist.
We
but in a cute way.
We can never run for political office ever.
Oh God, no. There's photographs that keep that from happening.
That was a funny line. It was just super racist. Go ahead.
I liked when Sam, because it was just a cute, like, I like Sam, and I like that he's getting, like, they're giving him stuff to do again. And when he's kind of flirting with Mercedes, and he's like, it's because I'm white, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was funny to me.
And I also like that he asks, would Trouty mouth work on the back of the store?
That was cute. Yeah. I hope the swim team stays, because I feel like it's already a great idea, I think. And it's in that, like, weird Gleeverse of, like, this school has a synchronized swimming team. I thought that whole scene was really funny. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people talk about Nene.
Nene.
Nene. I'm going to call her Nene. That's what it looks like to me.
Nene.
I don't know anything about her except for the fact that the girls had to pose like her in an episode of America's Next Top Model a few weeks ago. She was really funny.
She was great.
Yeah.
That was one of my high notes. She was really funny.
And
that whole scene.
Hilarious. It was written well. She delivered it great. It was, I want to see her and Sue spar off. I know that was kind of like, oh, great, a foe for Sue. But no, like watching that scene, I was like, yeah, no, I want to see that.
Yep. It would be great if like Sam becomes the star of the team and they make it to swimming nationals and they have to fight for the Cheerio money.
Ooh, okay.
And then it would just be season one with the swim team. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. But it does. It would give us the token Cord Overstreet shirtless scene, which apparently is now in his contract that he has to do every week one way or another.
Definitely.
I like the idea that next week it's going to be like somebody spills ketchup on his shirt. And he's like, oh, I have to take it off.
Or he's going to get in a motorcycle accident and have to mop up those three drips of blood
tear it off his shirt to save
off of Mercedes' head.
Yes, there is a lot. We're giving you options. Don't worry. We'll keep Cord Overstreet shirtless for the next couple of episodes to come.
Yep. I think after that, everything turns into low notes because then I started to get angry while I was watching it.
Okay, I have a few more high notes. Oh, you go.
I just love Sugar Mata in general, but I loved her outfit when Artie asked her to work with him.
You know what it kind of looked like? It looked like something the nanny would wear.
It did. That's why I love it. You're spot on. For sure.
I thought that scene was funny too.
I just love her.
Yeah, the way she delivered it was really funny. The whole like, it's because people are really mean.
Yep. Yeah. And I found one more, but I've talked about it already. I just love that Will plays fantasy football.
Gotcha. I like the when Sue tells Artie that the way he dresses, he looks like a demented 9-year-old or like he's auditioning for a nursing home production of Awakening, which is great because Awakening humor is always funny. And in general, I really like Sue this episode.
Yeah.
Like they kept her still funny and snappy and had some great one-liners, but she was a human being. Mm-hmm. And even like her scenes in the cafeteria, not in the cafeteria, in the teacher's lounge with like Emma, like she was, you know, like she was still kind of bitchy, but she wasn't, but she was, you know, like more a fellow teacher or friend than just, you know, crazy Sue. And it didn't come off as unbelievable for her to act like this now. And, you know, and then her scenes with Becky were great. Her scene with Artie was great. So it was a very positive, if nothing else came out of this episode, and I think there was some good in it. We like the songs, we like, you know, some things. I think Sue definitely might be the main reason I walked away from this the first time being like, yeah, Glee's got it back.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Low notes.
Oh my, where to begin? I think just the whole Rachel Finn proposal thing was really an issue.
Fair enough.
I think I talked about most of them already. My only really big one is that Will Will Schuster, you have no other friends that Finn is your best man?
Yeah.
Really? Beast would be a better best man. Is more believable choice than Finn.
And hey, remember like in season one when Will had parents?
Yeah.
And they were really nice, and Victor Garber was one of them. And like they were cool and they seemed really supportive and nice and like good people and good parents. So when Will is like, "You guys are my family, you're the only ones who care about me." Will, what did your parents do in the 2 years that you haven't talked about them ever again?
His mother must have run off with Josh Groban.
That's possible.
Ooh. That's what happened. They got divorced. Now he doesn't speak to them anymore.
That would be fantastic. Oh, God, a girl can dream. But yeah, no, that was one of my stray observations, was when Will's like, "You're going to keep me in line at a bachelor party. You're going to have a bachelor party with a kid who's 17 years old? Isn't that a little weird?"
Yep.
Yeah. Like, what do you do with a 17, or even if it's 18? What are you guys going to do?
Going to go bowling.
I think so, which, granted, could be a fun bachelor party.
But they can't drink.
Is that not? Exactly.
Nope. That is an issue.
Yeah, I know. Weird. Very weird.
And what is Finn just going to be a professional best man? He was already, what's his name's best man?
Well, clearly he is pretty good at it.
I guess. No. Whatever.
Oh, I'm on my second wedding MC gig soon. So, hey, making a side career. It's kind of like podcasting. You don't get paid for these things, but they bring you much joy. So just, you know, hey, hey. My low notes, I think we kind of talked about too. It's the Beast and Cooter. Oh, hey, you guys didn't really care about the storyline anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we actually did. And the whole, my notes were, quote unquote, "But I'm with Shane now." Dot dot dot. What? Because if that's your only reason for being with somebody is that you're with them, no, that doesn't a relationship make.
Nope.
And then my other kind of not a low note but a stray observation was, why would this school allow slushies to even be sold anymore if every single one of them goes in the face of another student?
Who knows?
Just a question. Just a wonder question, if you'd like.
Yeah, I don't really have any more low notes.
Okay. Are you okay? Are you good? I know this was a trying episode.
Yeah, I'm all right. It was just...
I mean, I liked it a lot more than the Christmas episode, I'll tell you that much.
Well, thank goodness.
No, but I think... It had the right intentions, and I think the writing was strong from a dialogue standpoint, and I think the directing was fine. I think it just turned into Glee does not understand how to do a story that goes from one episode to the next.
Yeah.
And this episode really did show just, you know, how you have to plan a show. You can't just make up stuff every week and hope people forget that you've already done it.
Yeah.
Because we're not forgetting, Ryan Murphy. We will never forget.
We'll never forget.
Right. We're going to have t-shirts made up that say that.
We are.
Okay. So, is that everything we have to say about the episode? Should we move on to feedback?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Our feedback comes courtesy of the one and only Wayne Kotke. Who titles his email, "Let There Be Grease on Earth and Let It Begin with Glee." Something borrowed, something blue. Well, this was a surprise. An episode which leaned heavily on both Will and Finn, neither among my favorite characters, and yet somehow I didn't hate it. In fact, while watching Yes No, I felt particularly, well, engaged for the first time with the series, since that one episode where everyone in Lima was deflowered simultaneously. Remember that one? I believed it aired sometimes during the Pleistocene epic and guest starred a woolly mammoth. Anyway, some observations starting with the very familiar opening number. Oh God, here we go. They're doing that thing from that other thing right down to the staging and choreography. Poor Deanna of Aragon wants no part of this. You see how far she's sitting from everyone else? I'm just making peace with this. I've cycled through denial, anger, bargaining, and fear, and I've somehow gotten to acceptance before we hear the first telltale doop, da-doop, da-doop. Do 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 on the soundtrack. This is happening. better make the most of it. I prefer when Glee takes familiar songs and uses them in unusual or unexpected ways, but this just feels like quotation. Also, what the hell is Rachel wearing? Is she supposed to be a World War I nurse or something? Somehow it throws me off that they're skipping a few lines. I guess this is the Reader's Digest version of the song. Kurt's one big line is the highlight, but it's nice to hear that Sugar now has magically become an acceptable singer. One last observation about this. Rory and Finn's fakey accents, precious. Well, Sugar, you know, we saw that Sugar was getting tutored by Shelby, so clearly Shelby can make a singer out of nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Wayne about the whole, like, yes, I would rather have them do something more interesting with the song, but it worked. I accepted it. Rachel was back in, like, the cape mode.
I like her cape mode. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it.
It was cute. I think Rachel and the costume, or Leia Michelle and the costume people of Glee have a really manic relationship with each other. Because you think of, like, how, like, the Christmas episode, Rachel had the cutest dresses. And then, like, this episode, she's wearing a cape. And I really think it's, like, every other week, they just, I don't know, it's complicated.
It's a complicated thing.
Yeah. Okay, continuing with Wayne. Becky is getting to do a Quinn Fabray slow walk through the halls. Moving on up, young lady. I think part of the reason they hired Helen Mirren is because they thought it was funny to have Dame Helen say stuff like haters and get reals. Admittedly, Wayne, it was. Rice queen? Is that a thing people say? Google says yes, and this is, trust me, well worth investigation. Okay, I'm going to look up Rice queen. Overall, I'm going to say this was a good Sue week, a very good Sue week indeed. She was very classy in the way she handled the news that Cooter and Beast had eloped. She participated very gamely in the musical numbers this week. And best of all, she was a good role model, counselor, and friend to Becky while remaining true to herself. See, I like Sue better when she's not being Gargamel. Others may disagree. Nope, I agree, Wayne. I would also love, by the way, to eat ice cream and watch Beaches with Sue.
Yes.
Without question. I think a whole generation knows Wedding Bell Blues through Homer Simpson, who used it to torture these kids in Milhouse in the Homer Palooza episode. Did you know that this song's late composer, Laura Nyro, was very recently elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? True. Good to know, Wayne. Shane! That's that dude's name. I have a total side story involving Days of Our Lives and the name Shane, but I won't go into it now. Okay, Shane! That's that dude's name. I know the show has been setting him up as a villain since day one, and I know you have both obediently hated him all along, but I've always kind of liked the character. He seems okay to me. Plus, he made Finn feel bad about himself. That makes him a hero in my book. Look, Wayne, it's not that I hate Shane. You do, right, Erica?
Yeah. made her feel he's controlling. He's controlling poor Mercedes.
I just don't get him. I agree. I think if they wanted to make him a villain, they could have made him much more interesting. If they wanted to make him sympathetic, they could have made
should
him
have more tried to make him sympathetic.
Yeah, instead of him just essentially like
bossing her around
Mercedes, like, and the scene, especially like the scene with Sam when Sam gets slushied, and she's helping him, and he's like, "Yo, you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm just helping a friend." He's like, "He's fine." Like, that felt like he was going to slap her in the face if she stayed there for a minute longer.
Yep.
And I don't really blame the actor. I just blame the fact that the writers have no, like, I mean, like a lot of this season, they have no idea where they're going with him.
Pretty much.
I don't know. Maybe he'll, I hope he gets, like, a really weird story.
I hope he's gone next episode.
What if he gets paralyzed right as Mercedes is going to break up with him? He gets like a diabetic paralyzation and he ends up like in the hospital and he's like, at least I don't have my legs anymore, but at least I have you. And then it's like that awkward, oh, now she has to stay with him. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I got this. Royalties, Glee. Write the check to Emily and Travia, please. Send it my way.
I want halvesies.
A quarter. But you get to keep the oversized check if you want.
This won't even make it to air if you don't give me half.
Oh, damn it. Only half? I should stop on the head. Wayne continues. Meanwhile, I'm more and more a fan of Sugar Mata with each passing episode. Her all too brief scene with Artie is one of the episode's highlights. Like all Americans, I demand more sugar. The Nene leaks thing turned out pretty much like I guessed it would. Two phrases. That's what I'm calling. That's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with. It looks like Nene.
It's not.
Well, it is to me. Okay.
Okay.
For all I know, it could be Neen. I don't know.
She says her name on her show.
Well, I don't watch her stupid show. So there. Got other things to watch. Project Runway All-Stars. Kind of disappointing. Anyway, the Nene League thing turned out pretty much like I guessed it would. Two phrases I like from her opening rant. 40 acres and a pool and bronze damn Olympic medal. She's pretty cartoony. Scratch that. Very cartoony. But for now, it's kind of amusing. Sam with wet hair equals Macaulay Culkin.
Oh.
I'll leave it to you to decide whether that's a good or bad thing. Macaulay Culkin never had those abs, Wayne.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
I do love Macaulay Culkin, though.
Oh, I totally had a crush on him when I was a kid. That was a long time ago. Although, I mean, he had Mila Kunis for like 10 years. So.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him. Yeah. I like Party Monster. I enjoy him in it.
I think he aged interestingly in terms of choices. Oh, God, now they're using Summer Lovin' to underscore the melancholy which has overtaken the Sam Sadie storyline. Two words. Corny. Oh, no, not V-neck t-shirts. Anything but V-neck t-shirts. Wait, now Will is wearing a wife beater? This is worse. Mike Chang may have moves like Jagger, but I think Will has moves more like Keith Richards. Or possibly Kim Richards. Kevin McHale has a tough, unenviable job with his storyline this week, and I think he handles it very well. Wow, this will be the second marriage for both Will and Emma. Yes, and third engagement for Emma. Don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Ken Tanaka? I don't know if anybody else remembers Ken Tanaka, but I remember.
Oh, Ken. I remember Ken Tanaka.
Everyone reacts to Finn's plan to join the army. Like he just said, I'm going to shoot heroin into my eyeballs and then rob a daycare center. Hey, Glee, the military is a valid life option. You might want to let your viewers know that. So the army led to Finn's dad's early drug-related death and could presumably do the same for Finn. I'm not seeing a downside here. Oh, Wayne. Bless you.
Excuse me.
My goodness, giving me your germs through that microphone.
Sorry.
Okay.
Please continue.
The first time I ever saw your face is pleasant and all, but I feel like it feels like blatant filler. And what's this? More of Mercedes blubbering over Sam? I want Sam Sadie's to be a fun storyline, not a sappy one. Ah, we're cooking again. Emma's wonderful, horrible parents are back. Some may feel that her parents are just being mean here, but I think they're just being tough and honest, which is also a theme in the Artie Becky story. Oh, yeah, that's true. Naya Rivera has a great line in the Becky Vengeance scene about Becky being a sly, conniving bitch. That's what I like about Santana. She's never obligated to be polite or fake nice. She really comes in handy when the show threatens to turn into an after-school special. Good point, Lane. Back-to-back interventions? Okay, fine. Is the long-sleeve shirt under short-sleeve shirt things really not going away? Aren't we done with that yet? Oh gosh, I feel like I should be taking pleasure in Finn's pain, but this seems like piling on. What do you think about the long sleeve shirt under the short sleeve shirt, Arca?
I'm definitely guilty of it. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I've done it.
Because sometimes you want to wear like a cute t-shirt and you don't want to put a hoodie on because that'll cover up the t-shirt. Yeah. So you wear a shirt under it.
And also, I know, like, back for me, because I think of it more usually in terms of, like, well, it's, you know, layering keeps you from being cold. Mm-hmm. And I always thought, like, well, see, if I wear a short-sleeve t-shirt under a long-sleeve t-shirt, people don't know I'm wearing a long, like, another shirt, so they just think I'm fatter than I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, I think the short-sleeve shirt over the long-sleeve shirt is not overly flattering to your figure, but at least people know there's a reason for it then.
True.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
I get
it.
Okay. I understand. Picking up what you're putting down.
Exactly. Wayne continues, I don't know what you thought of it, but the big scene between Artie and Sue reminded me why Sue can be such a good character and so useful to the show. Yep, I agree. I agree, Wayne. How much time has passed since the opening scene of this episode? Emma and Will's big emotional breakdown scene is clearly taking place in January, shortly after Christmas. But during Summer Lovin', it certainly seemed warm and sunny outdoors. And this is Ohio. Anyway, Will is being kind of a dick in this scene, but I think that's good. It shows he's human. I did think about that, too, because I'm like, wow, it's sunny, and all they're wearing is, like, light jackets, and they're fine.
Well, that's why What's-Her-Face had her cape on.
Fair enough. Frankly, I've lost interest in the whole Niada thing, and the bummed-out scene with Kurt, Rachel, and Finn seemed more like padding. In a way, though, it is kind of fucked up that at the age of 17 or 18, you have to make decisions which can affect the course of your life. That's a really bad time to be making life decisions. I was a mess at 17, as I'm sure a lot of people were. The future. was the last scene I wanted to think about. The present was kicking my ass back then. I get the sense that both Erica and Emily were organized and goal-oriented at that age, but I just wasn't. I wish I had been. Damn it, Glee, you've gone and gotten me all depressed. I demand more fun stuff. Rachel, your song isn't helping. But again, Naya Rivera comes to the rescue, and it's Kevin McHale with the assist. Yeah, the scene they had in Breadsticks where it's like, remember when the future was just this great idea that wasn't ever going to actually happen, and now it's real and not as the way we thought it would be? Yeah, I guess it's, I don't know. I was one of those like nerdy, I can't wait to go to college kids. So for me, like the future was great because I was going to college with like, where, you know, it was going to be cool to be smart, and it still wasn't.
I don't know. Maybe it's because you had older siblings. Like I've had this conversation multiple times this year. I really strongly believe that for children who don't have older siblings, 17 is too young to be making those life decisions.
That's a fair point.
Because clearly, I was like, oh, I like speaking basically in reference to student loans. Not everyone knows my story, but basically, I didn't get any financial aid, even though I should have, because my parents were divorced and I only live with one parent. Mm-hmm. And I basically found out about 3 years into my college career that they just didn't give me the second form I was supposed to fill out to get financial aid. So my really expensive private school in Manhattan is all taken out in loans that I'm currently paying back. Because at the time I was 17 and I was like, whatever, I'll just take out loans and pay them back without realizing.
I'm going to get a really good job afterwards. Yeah.
Not realizing that a high paying job was not guaranteed, A, and B, $120,000 is a lot of money to take out in student loans. I agree with Wayne, I guess. I just think that, 17 is way too young to be making those giant life decisions.
Yeah, and no, I mean, I think those are great points. And I bet today things are like maybe a little different just because of, you know, the state of the economy. Like, I think.
Well, that and at least like now, like our kids, like the next generation, their parents will have gone to college.
Right. Like, and people will know, like, right. Because for us, it was a big thing of like, oh, well, no matter what, I'm sending my kid to college.
Yeah. Our parents didn't necessarily go to college. Like, neither of my parents did, so I had no idea.
Right. And the whole, I think, at least, like, back when we were in school, or, like, I know on my end, it was definitely, like, I want to go to these schools. I'm applying to, like, the SUNY schools, which SUNY in New York are, like, the state schools, which are significantly less tuition. Some of which, I mean, they vary in terms of, I guess with the word competitiveness. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I applied to those at safety schools because those were like, well, if I don't get into my choices, then I'll go here because, you know, and I won't be expensive and blah. And it, for me, like I wasn't even considering that. Like I was just really hoping I didn't have to resort to that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think now people understand probably more that there's nothing wrong at all with going to a state school or even community college for a few years until you figure it out. Like, and I think there always has been a stigma on going to college after you graduate. And I know for me, it wouldn't have changed anything because I was a nerd. So I was going to college no matter what. But, you know, like a lot of kids that go to private school, for example, take a year off. They do essentially like another year of private school where they're like using it to figure out what they want to do and stuff. And it's ridiculous that that's like a privilege for kids that can afford college anyway. Whereas, you know, people like us who work like college is a huge decision, not just because it's our future, but because it's our future financial situation. And we don't really get the choice. It's, you know, well, you decide now, or we don't know that there is that choice. We don't realize that you can take time to decide what you're going to do. And, you know, maybe you don't know what you want to do until you're in your 30s or so on. And yeah, it's a crazy pressure cooker of a time in your life, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
Yep. Any of our young listeners who have thoughts on this, share. Share your experiences. And remember, there's always time.
And make better decisions.
Make better decisions than we did. Yeah. Yeah. Wayne continues. You know what? I'm never going to be 100% on board for Emma and Will as a couple. I like her much better on her own, or with Uncle Jesse from Full House. But I can still take pleasure in the big synchronized swimming musical dance proposal thingy, if only for the Stepford Wives vibe coming from the generic girls in the red swimsuits. Oh, and hey, it's Blaine. Where have you been this week, man? And now Will is walking on water, so he is Jesus. Has the whole series been a parable? What does that make Emma? Mary Magdalene? Well, hardly. We found love in a hopeless place. Meaning, I guess, McKinley High sucks. The kids can sing this with pride because they're going to graduate soon. Will and Emma are stuck there, so why are they happy about this?
Because that's not what it meant.
Anyway, can you imagine if Emma had just shrugged and said, nah, to Will's proposal? Not no, but nah. Like when someone offers you food when you're not hungry. That would have been great. But that's not Glee. That's some other serious thing only in my mind. I did actually think the first time I watched it that she was not going to say yes.
Oh, I did too. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Something, something, Finn, blah, 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 Rachel, blah, blah, blah. There's no way they're going to get married. So what's even the point of this? One-celled organisms are not fooled by this scene. If Rachel ever ends up accepting Finn's proposal and marrying the lug before her Broadway career has even started, I will rewatch the Christmas episode in its entirety. I swear. I don't, Wayne. I'm not doing that. So, not the strongest possible ending to this episode. The Rachel Finn thing seemed like a come down after the final Sue Becky scene. And I think we all know Rachel is not in any danger of becoming Finn's better half anytime soon. I see them more as a Sam Diane kind of couple. Did Sam and Diane get married? They did not. But still, this was an entertaining episode with lots of plot twists, some surprises, some nice musical numbers, and a few of those eccentric flourishes you'll only find on Glee. I'm going to chalk this up in the win column. Yours and Chlorine, Wenkaki, who you can find more of at d2write.blogspot.com.
Thank you, Wayne.
I think if I had to give, I'd give it a passing grade. I would, you know, this to me maybe is like a B minus episode that like hovers on a C plus, kind of depending on my mood. Because again, I think I like everything inside of it. I just wish anything that required any sort of planning was done differently. If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Like, I hate the decisions made regarding this episode, but I liked everything inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of it, what was inside of it. So, yeah. I think that's all of our feedback.
Yep.
Right? Yes, I know Scott from Married with Clickers was going to send an email regarding his feelings on Sebastian, but he did not. So, thanks, Scott from Married with Clickers.
We'll look for that next week, maybe?
Hopefully. Because I think what's his name? It looks like the next episode, which we should say, looks like a very Michael Jackson. It's the Michael Jackson tribute episode, is it not?
It's the Michael Jackson episode. I think there's like 8 songs.
Oh, that has me really worried.
Here, wait. I'll count because I already know what they are. I'm excited about a couple of them. But
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the music might be great, but is Ryan Murphy writing that episode, you know?
That I do not know. Yeah.
I mean, my worry has just been, you know, their tribute episodes. The best one was what? The Fleetwood Mac one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just because.
Oh. Uh-oh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yes, 10 Michael Jackson songs next episode.
Because, you know, Glee generally does really well when they overload the episode with, you know, songs, right?
I'm very excited about one of the pairings and the song, though, because it's one of my favorite Michael Jackson songs, even though it's a weird choice. And I'm very interested into how they fit one of these in. And I'm super excited for another one.
The episode is directed by a guy, Alfonso Gomez Rejon, who directed Asian F, who directed Born This Way, who directed Grilled Cheeses, and A Very Glee Christmas, which was the Christmas episode from last year. So the good news is, at least from my end, I really like all the episodes he directed. Oh, and he directed Laryngitis. So the director has a really good track record with Glee. I don't know who wrote this episode. They don't credit that yet on IMDb.
I'm really curious as to what is going on in this episode based on some of the pairings that they have singing.
Hmm. Well, it seems like I'm going to just guess based on the preview that New Directions, Blaine, like basically spills what they're going to perform to Sebastian. So it seems like the Warblers are going to then try to do a Michael Jackson thing also. I don't know. That's what I got from the trailer.
The Warblers are definitely involved.
Okay. Well, that's exciting, I guess. Now, this will air next Tuesday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Something else I just wanted to bring up before I forget. Are you interested in watching Smash? Duh. Is it Smashed or Smash?
Smash. I'm mildly interested because I really like Catherine McPhee. Is that who it is? Who is it?
Yes.
It's her.
Well, it's also like Angelica Houston and someone else awesome who I can't remember. But just curious if I feel like we should watch that and talk about it a little bit.
Is it going to be like a musical though?
I think so. I don't know.
Really?
I think they were trying different things with it, but I think it's about a musical, I believe. And I think there's songs in there, but I don't know if they're all like towards the show. I have no idea, but I'm intrigued to see like the first official kind of Glee ripoff in a way.
Okay.
So we should remember that and watch it.
It's the week after the Super Bowl, right?
The way they keep advertising it, which I find hilarious, is on NBC, because I think it's NBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
They keep advertising it as the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Which is the next day.
I know. Why can't they just say February 6th?
I don't know. Like, good shows are supposed to premiere after the Super Bowl, but it's not even premiering after the Super Bowl.
Exactly. It's not like the post-Super Bowl show. It's just like it's airing the next night. But here's a really funny thing to me. Do you really think the Super Bowl audience is like, yeah, that Broadway musical hour-long drama with Angelica Houston? I don't generally think there's a crossover audience there.
No, but remember, Glee did come on after the Super Bowl last year, so.
That's a good point. They are good with their planting in your, what's that word? Lost my words. I don't know. I'm getting old, Erica.
Subliminal messages?
Subliminal messages. Thank you. I was in the bathroom at work yesterday for like 10 minutes trying to get this one little gray hair out of my head.
Oh, God.
Because I caught it in the light in the office and I was like, I couldn't get it. So I'm like, fine, I'll just get it later. And then I went to the bathroom again later and I was like, there it is. God damn it. I'm like, no, I'm not walking out of here until I get it. And I probably pulled out like a lot of other hair in the process, but I finally got that gray hair.
I'm glad you did.
Thank you.
All right, let's wrap this up.
Okay. Visit us at palaver.com.
That's palavr.com.
Email us at gleecast.com.
Or gleecast@gmail.com.
I'm an old woman.
Gleecast.
Follow Erica on Twitter at
Eric is Knits.
Follow
Emily on Twitter at
Edley Dolls.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we will. Visit my blog at Deadly Dolls.
Oh, yeah, that too.
It's almost February, which means it's a whole month of movies about short killers.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Vertically challenged, represent.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Okay. Bye, everybody. When next we meet, I will
stop
be
old. Being so sad.
And gray. And dead.
Cheer up.
Bye.
Bye, listeners.
Bye.